Hey, welcome to Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. Thank you for downloading the show and checking us out. This is a podcast of eclectic DIY, what I find interesting and what my friends find interesting. And we get together and talk about it. And today, one of my good friends, Will Wallace from the YouTube channel The Weekend Homestead is here. Hey, sir.
Good day. How are you, sir?
I'm excited because you're going to tell me how to build my next pizza oven.
That pizza oven was the coolest thing I've seen ever. That was so awesome.
For people that haven't watched the video on the Garden Fork YouTube channel yet, I built a pizza oven out of a metal 55-gallon drum. And this version 1.0, I asked in the video for people to comment and give me some suggestions to make it better. And I thought we'd talk about it today. And Will had some comments, and he kept on talking, and I'm like, stop talking until I can hit the record button here.
The interesting thing about your pizza oven is the first thing I had thought of was I'm wondering if I could convert my maple syrup evaporator that I made in a 55-gallon drum into a pizza oven. I don't know if you remember that or not, I made one that was laying on its side. And I was like, first thing I thought, I was like, oh, I wonder if I could do that. But the door on the front, I think, is too small.
Well, you could always make the door bigger.
I think it's just make another one is what I'm really thinking.
Yeah.
You made it look so easy.
Yeah. I'm not very good at measuring. I'm more about, well, let me cut it and I'll see if it fits. And I had to fix some holes in it, but it worked out amazingly well. I actually like it more than the brick oven, the Garden Fork dry fit portable brick pizza oven that you can assemble it in 20 minutes and then fire up your fire. But it's a little it's all dry fit brick stacked on top of itself, and the weight of the bricks is holding it together. And if you bang into the table, it's gonna fall over, you know.
Possible safety issue.
And this thing is, you know, the drum was $30 from Tractor Supply. It's a brand new drum. And I just got some rebar, and I already had the clay brick. Not too many people were yelling at me about fire brick this time, so that was nice. And boom, you throw some wood in there. I was using pallet wood, and I found some pallets at the hardware store that were almost all made out of oak. I never thought it's so weird to find a pallet made out of hardwood oak.
When they're shipping really heavy items, you'll see it a lot in industrial stuff. They'll make pallets out of oak. So whatever they were shipping was super heavy when they were moving it. And that's why it's made out of oak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I learned that from my buddy who's in the trucking industry. Cause he brought me some one time and I'm like, where did you get pallets made of oak? And he's like, oh, we were transporting transformers for the power company. And I guess the wind thing in the middle? It's like a generator has. It doesn't matter. The thing that has all the copper on it, they're super heavy, and putting it in a pallet and a crate made out of pine, it would just fall apart. So they make them out of oak.
Wow. That's an expensive pallet.
Yes, it is. Somebody is talking that, you know, people make things out of pallets to go find oak pallets and then make a table out of, you know, an oak version of it instead of a pine when you get a much better table.
Yeah, the big issue with pallets for me is getting the nails out, and they use those twist nails, and they are, if you were going to like cut it with a wood saw, you know, if you were going to cut it to make furniture, removing the nails is an issue there.
So I tried to pay attention in all of my excitement as much as possible, but I have some questions about your pizza oven.
Yeah, sure.
And how it works. First one is, do you end up having a scenario like, how do you deal with exhaust, like the smoke? I don't remember seeing you cut in a chimney in the back or put one on the top or anything like that. How does smoke deal with the fire?
Well, it comes out the front, and I do that on purpose because the whole idea with a pizza oven and by extension a bread oven is what you're really doing is heating up the brick, and that radiates or reflects, I don't know if that's right, which word is the correct one, heat onto the pizza. And so if the fire is at the back of the barrel, if you put a chimney right above that, all the heat goes right out the back of the barrel, and the roof, the brick roof of your pizza oven, doesn't get nearly as hot as it should. So I have it so the fire's in the back, and basically the smoke and the heat run across the top and then exit the front.
Does that make it hard to load or unload or watch your pizza cook?
No, I mean, it's freaking hot. So you can't get your eyeballs too close to that thing for very long. It is amazingly hot, but you want it really hot to make your pizza. You know, you want to bubble the crust. You want to, you know, you want to heat your ingredients. You want them to melt. And I built a slide, a pizza peel out of some plywood. Of course, there's a video about that, but yeah, that and your welding gloves, you're good to go.
Would you have ever thought to, at the top of the barrel closest to the opening, putting a chimney there so that then instead of the smoke coming out the front of the thing, it makes a sharp turn and goes up to make it a little bit more bearable in the front? Or is it really not that big of an issue?
To me, it's not big of an issue because there's not much smoke. It smokes when you first fire it, but you're not standing near it then anyway. You've got a lot of paper and cardboard. And I actually use old beehive frames. They're great for starting fires because they're beeswax and old wood. And then once you're down to flame and coals, there's very little smoke coming off the thing. And I don't know. I just thought the chimney on it is one more thing I got to take apart. I kind of like the a la carte, like, hey, here's the barrel. Here are the pieces of rebar. There's the brick. Boom, boom, boom. And it's good to go.
How heavy is this thing? I mean, I know that you have a tractor. Could you put a loop on the top of the barrel and then just be able to pick it up with the forks and move it around the yard?
Yeah, it's 30. There are 32 bricks. So it's five. There's 64 bricks in it. So wow. It's five across and it's eight deep. Here we go. This is Eric with his math.
It's got to be at least 300 pounds.
No, it's not. I have to figure that out. But you might be able to two-man it, but my idea was you could take it apart relatively easy. Like I moved the brick around and everything in a garden cart, you know, the garden cart used for compost. It's got the bicycle wheels on the sides, the plywood garden cart.
Yeah.
So you could move the barrel and the brick in that. But yeah, you can use your tractor too. But the tractor might even make it more kind of awkwardy because it's kind of dangling from your forks. But I don't
true. Know. Maybe you just build some kind of mechanism you could pick it up and roll it. Or even better, figure out a way to mount wheels on it and make it like a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Now or you could weld some slots with metal brackets across the top of the barrel and put the forks on your tractor and drive the forks across the top of the barrel and just lift the whole thing up.
Well, that's a good idea too. Do you ever worry about Spalding or where, you know, the brick splits and falls apart or anything like that? Does that ever happen, or like the chips come off the ceiling and end up in the food or any of that?
No, what I talked about this a little in the video, and I tried to not sound annoyed with people, but clay brick can get really hot, and it does not, in my experience, it does not explode. What it does over time is crack, and it's kind of a underwhelming. It cracks, but it stays in place. So, you know, you've got, 40 bricks or whatever on the floor of the thing. And then if it gets, one of them starts to crack, it just sits there. It doesn't. And I've never had anything come off the top. And it's just clay. So it might be like an accidentally, like a piece of gravel got on your pizza. And you could probably see it before you ate it anyway. But the fire brick is built for getting real hot and then cooling down, getting real hot and then cooling down. And clay brick is not built for that. But my clay brick I get for free out of dumpsters, because when they demo the interior walls of buildings in Brooklyn, a lot of them are still clay brick, and, you know, it's free. And the fire brick, depending on where you buy it, it can be $4 a brick. It could be $6 a brick, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's very expensive. Interesting. Do you, on the barrel, last question on just kind of building this thing, did you have any issues with paint at all on the barrel, or how did the barrel come?
It looked like whoever was selling the brand new barrels had barely sprayed the outside with some spray paint, like from a compressor. And that burned off in about 5 minutes when I put the fire, when I fired up for the fire. But
Now, do you suggest?
the interior was immaculate, so.
So, do you suggest burning this in? Like, you know, like when you build something and you put a fire in it, you want to kind of do a test burn on it and then let it burn completely out and then use it for the first time? Or was it good to go right out of the gate?
Well, I knew it was a brand new barrel, so I was fine with that. But if I was using a barrel I got from a friend, I would womp it up and burn it for a couple hours. I think I don't want to sound careless, but I think after you heat up a barrel, whatever's in there is probably incinerated, you know?
Yeah, 500 degrees for a short period of time will pretty much take care of anything.
The flip side of that is if it's galvanized, you do not want to use it. But I've never seen a barrel that is galvanized. I've seen outdoor metal, like buckets and stuff that are galvanized, but I've never seen like a 55-gallon drum that's galvanized because that is zinc. And if you heat that up, the vapor can do very bad things to you.
That would be one expensive barrel if that was the case, if they made
Yeah.
a barrel out of that. Here's my galvanized barrel.
But there are a lot of great comments about version 2.0, which we'll do. And probably the biggest one was since I was trying to measure the brick and figure out exactly where to drill the holes. And more than one person said, why don't you make a cardboard template of the profile of the bricks and then use that to figure out where you're going to drill your holes? And I was like, oh, there you go.
What my wife had suggested when we had watched it was she has one of those cookie sheets or baking stones. What if we made that and then just put the baking stone inside of the oven, had the fire in the back, you know, on the bricks and everything like that, and then you've got a nice smooth, easy surface to work on inside there. Because I mean, you could buy one of those baking stones or whatever, fairly inexpensive, and they can get really hot. So that was one of the ideas that she had, was seeing if one of those would fit in there.
Yeah, a couple of people asked about putting in a pizza stone. And I'm like, you can, but you would have to have the fire on top of it first, because you need the bottom of your crust to cook and brown. And I think some people were not didn't love the idea that I just took the ash and swept it away from where I was going to lay the pizza down on the brick. And I'm like, ash is basically charcoal, it's wood. I mean, people eat charcoal to settle their stomachs. And putting the pizza stone on there, you would have to heat up that pizza stone for either have coals right on top of it or have it in there for a really long time to get wampin' hot. But I mean, anything's possible. We could try it.
Any thoughts of putting a bathroom fan in there to get some turbocharge out of it?
Oh no. Ooh, wow. That would get
Make
really hot.
it like the first pizza oven, jet oven, something like that.
It's kind of funny because that's actually what I do with my maple syrup evaporator is we have a bathroom fan with a dimmer, like a regular household dimmer switch thing on it. And we dial it up and down when we really want the boil to go. We just fire that thing up and it's got that crinkly aluminum foil piping and it goes into the front of the evaporator. And it's like, how blacksmiths will wamp up the coal fire when they're getting the metal really hot. So yeah, I didn't think about that. The only thing with that is that could blow ash. You'd turn it off right before you put the pizza in the oven because that ash flying around, it could land on the pizza. And I don't really care, but it'd be less than, it's just not very decorative, you know?
Yeah, your pizza would turn out all gray.
Yeah, gray pizza. Great artisanal pizza.
Nice, very nice. You just did store-bought dough or make it from scratch, or it doesn't matter, you can do whatever you want in there. Could you like bake bread in this thing?
Well, that's a thought. To answer the first question, there's a grocery store near me that has a prepared food area. Kind of pre-coronavirus, you could go sit down in there, and that one of the little, it's like a food court. That's the word. A very nice food court. And they have a pizza guy, a pizza oven, and well, it could be a woman too. I don't know. But they sell the dough. You can buy the pizza dough that they make, and it's the real deal. It's made overnight. It's nice and smushy. And so I went down to my grocery store and bought the dough. It's from the Big Y. in Connecticut, if anyone shops there. I like, they're American owned, so I like going there. And they're really nice people. And the second question I'm now blanking on.
I don't remember either. I was so fascinated by the dough and everything. I just, oh, bread. Could you make bread in this thing?
Yes, but you would need to add more mass. I mean, where a bread oven is a bigger version of a pizza oven, because usually with a bread oven, you don't have a fire going. But I think in this one, you'd have to, but you have to, I would line the sides of it with brick as well, which is actually something I'm thinking of doing. And then you'd have to make a front door that was kind of insulated as well to hold the heat in. So you could put the dough in, you could put it in a clay pot or something, but you need a lot more mass to hold a lot of heat to wamp up pizza, to wamp up bread dough.
I would almost think that the outside of the bread would torch and the inside would be doughy based on the fact of you have super intense heat. Cause like an oven is, you know, 350 and you kind of have it set or whatever. And it's kind of at a gradual temperature versus this thing where depending on the fire and what you have burning there, you could have 500, 600 degrees, like super hot, you know?
Yeah. It's, I have yet to build a bread oven. I'm curious, maybe I could bake bread in the ground. I got another video coming out where I put the Dutch oven in the dirt with a bunch of wood and fire. I wonder if you could make bread that way.
You could make it with your tractor, dig the hole with your backhoe and then, you know, line it with the stuff. First ever tractor built bread oven.
The cranky people would come out for that. You did it wrong.
You're going to get dirt in your bread.
We will have a tractor episode coming up because I now have an experience of owning two tractors, and I have some insight into that now if you're thinking about buying a tractor. Maybe Erin could come on because she, I think she still would like to buy one.
I will tell you that I could give you my experience of why not to buy a skid steer, because they get very expensive if they break.
Yeah.
Wow, I was shocked when the tracks, we lost one of the tracks and then had to have it replaced. And then the tracks that we bought to have put on there failed. So now we have a whole pile of problems.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's covered under warranty. So I'm fine with the second part of it. But the first part was pretty shocking. So
can you tell me how much a tread costs?
I think in 30 days we spent $7,000 on the skid steer.
Wow.
The tracks, I think, were 35, because you got to replace both of them at the same time. And I think they were $3,300 for the pair of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they'll last for 8 or 10 years, but the version that we got had some type of issue. What's it called when a tire peels itself off in layers? Like you see a truck driving down the road and it doesn't blow the tire, it just peels it off.
Delaminates.
So the treads delaminated on the inside of it on the brand new one. We only had 15 hours on it. They came out and looked and they said, yeah, there was something wrong in the manufacturing when they made the set of them, and they, like, it peeled off perfectly inside of the tractor. The problem is you have a lot of wheels and gears and motors and things like that inside the tread. So when you have fine pieces of rubber that are embedded with steel cable wrapped up in a whole bunch of mechanical stuff, it can get expensive very quickly.
See, with clay brick and a metal drum, you don't have these problems.
That's my next step. I think I'm gonna keep the maple syrup evaporator as it is, because I was trying to think of how I could convert the maple syrup one into that. I think I should just break down and build a new one.
So I'm gonna scroll through some of the comments here, and actually Erin made a comment. For the top row, you could space out the bricks and then put a second layer on top to seal up the gaps, and that was a brilliant solution. My problem with the roof was I wanted the row of five bricks to be snug to hit the corners of the barrel really nice, and then there wouldn't be any gaps. And the whole idea of two rows of brick up there with the upper row filling in for the gaps in the bottom one is pretty darn smart.
What about just turning the barrel, you know, 90 degrees upright and cutting a hole in the side for like a spot to slide the peel in with the pizza, put the fire on the bottom, have the brick suspended in the middle, and then the it just basically just cooks through all that heat coming up from the fire below.
It's possible. There were also people talking about building the fire underneath the bottom row of bricks. And I'm like, I didn't think that would work, because that's a lot of heating you're having to do.
I don't think it would be even either, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, it would sneak through the cracks and heat that faster than the actual radiating through the brick.
Yeah. Wow, I'm just reading through some of the comments here. I'm sorry. Oh, and then later on, the impatient gardener, Aaron's like, well, now I'm hungry for pizza.
We had pizza the other day based on the video that you had. It was very trendy, very cool. Made us want to do it, so we're going to do it this fall.
There's a gentleman named Conrad that is very active on our YouTube channel, and he was wondering if an FLIR heat gun would help finding the sweet spot for the pizza to bake and not burn. Just a thought. Be safe and thanks for sharing. He's a good guy, Conrad. So yeah, I have a one of those laser temperature gizmos. You can buy them at Harbor Freight now for pretty cheap. And I didn't think to find the sweet spot, because my problem is I had the pizza a little too close to the coals, and the one side of the crust burnt quite well because I was playing with the puppy and I burnt the edge of the pizza.
The puppy is pretty darn cute, I would have to say.
Yeah, Andy, she is a handful, let's just say. Oh, and then someone named M. Belcati, who has a regular pizza oven, says, could try sand in the bottom of your barrel to retain more heat.
Oh, that'd make it like a thermal mass.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you could put in sand, add a row of bricks, put in sand, add a row of bricks, put in sand, row of bricks, put in sand, row of bricks. Neat, huh?
That is actually, that would really, because I mean, if you're going to make a bunch of them, instead of having a huge spike on the fire and then have it go down and then come back up again, I mean, instead of having to restoke the fire, once that thermal mass got going, you'd get a lot better cook.
Yeah. Someone here asked if we just didn't use a top layer of brick, and they're like, wouldn't the metal of the barrel radiate heat down? And I don't think it would do it nearly as well. But I'm very intrigued by that idea of sand underneath the bottom layer.
That way, when you put the dryer vent in there, that then it'll blow the sand and the ash on the pizza, so you could both get it gritty and dirty at the same time. You're cooking it wrong. Sorry.
Maybe a few holes drilled in the back panel, the bottom of the barrel, would draw air in from the back, and the heat, and then the heat would move across and then out the front. There's some really wacko comments here too. I'm not going to read those, but anyway,
we'll skip over that stuff.
Couple people didn't realize that Charlie Pup had passed, so they said some nice things about that. So, because I introduced Andy, and let's see. So, if you haven't watched this yet, if you go to youtube.com/gardenfork, click on the videos there, you could watch it. And I would love to hear from you. It's radio@gardenfork.tv if you have some ideas. But a lot of people asking about chimneys. Yeah, it's just kind of fun. It was, and then you, Rick, you were like, you know, I mean, sorry, Will. I think as soon as you watched it, you started texting me.
Well, it was one of those where I saw it and I'm like, oh, hey, how about this? Hey, what about that? The biggest one was about I thought of was the paint, like, because all the barrels that we ever get, the free ones are, you know, they got paint and all sorts of stuff, and we use them for burn barrels or other projects to store stuff. And I never thought to cook in them because I was always afraid of what would be in it. But then when you said you could buy a clean one at one of the stores, I'm like, that's genius. You know, I'd never even thought, I mean, I've always scavenged for them. I never thought to buy one. And when you said how much it was, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cheap.
So, yeah, they were $30 at Tractor Supply. And it was funny because I went to Tractor Supply to get, I don't know, hydraulic fluid or something in the morning. And I avoid driving anywhere once we're up at the little house upstate. And I saw there were four barrels in front of the Tractor Supply. And I'm like, oh, I wonder, huh, Maybe I could do something with that, you know? And then I drove home and then I was like, I could make a pizza oven out of that. And I was like, okay, well, tomorrow I'll go and get one of those barrels. And I'm like, I should just go down right now and buy one of those barrels. So I drove back down and there was only one left. And I was talking to the kid at the cashier and he's like, yeah, as soon as we put those out there, they sell very quickly. So, and I don't think they stock them all the time, you know?
Do you think if you would do this again, that you would use your welder and weld something on it versus, I know the first option was to build something without a welder because not everybody has one, but I know that you have one. Any thoughts on anything you'd weld or change on it that way?
Well, that is actually probably version 3.0, but yeah, there's a YouTuber, really brilliant and creative person named Laura Kampf, K-A-M-P-F, Kampf. And she's in Germany. And she, what part of my inspiration was from the Way Out West Blowing blog, they built a pizza oven out of a barrel. And then Laura built one out of what looks like a water heater or something. But she welded these right angles in there. So the bottom, she used fire brick, I think, would slide out. So it was much easier to put the pizza in and tend to the fire. And then you slide it back in to the barrel. So that might be in version 3.0.
Nice. Any, talking about things that have versions, I know you have plywood boat version 1 and 2. Any thoughts of a 3 or a 4 at all on plywood boat?
Yes. I talked about it. I was on the Root Simple podcast and, I've been a little, well, let's just say the pandemic has really kind of knocked me sideways. So trying to get Eric's gears rolling is sometimes difficult, just to put it, nicely. So the barrel was pretty inspirational and I have a couple of the videos that I need to edit and post. And then, yeah, I have the plywood is lying on my garage floor right now. And I park my car on top of it to keep it from warping.
So should we do a call to action then for all the Garden Fork listeners to email you and give you suggestions for plywood boat version 3.0?
Yeah. Just bug the heck out of me. Where's the boat, dude?
Yep. Radio@gardenfork.tv. Just send him in. He loves getting emails.
Or if you email Will, I'm sorry. He'll just hand out my cell phone number, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Just give Eric a call like on a Tuesday at 9 PM at night for some random reason.
Do your friends text you at like 11 o'clock at night or midnight or something like that?
I get texts and they're unrelenting all the time. Morning, noon, night, anytime, anything. The problem is that my phone number is on all of the literature for the resort. So if somebody's got a water heater that's malfunctioning in cabin number 2 at 3 a.m, I get a text. Or if there's a bear digging in the dumpster at 4 a.m. or 2 p.m, like yesterday, I mean, I'll get a text. So it's my texting is constant. My wife was actually like, is there any way we can mute that? So I've been using the do not disturb thing. And then if they message a couple times, then I know it's urgent. So if you do text me at 2 a.m, make sure you text me 3 times because that's the only way it'll go through.
Yeah. Yeah. I have friends that just are like 11 o'clock at night. They're like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, I'm asleep.
Usually I wind it down about 1 a.m. or so, somewhere around there. And then I pick it back up at around 6. So there's usually a small window of time, but if it's urgent, people will get a hold of me. And we've had some true emergencies. I mean, there was two cubs and a sow. The sow climbed into the dumpster and was taking bags of garbage and throwing it out of the dumpster. And then the cubs were just ravaging through them on the ground. And normally we have the dumpsters locked and covered at the property. But it was in the middle of the afternoon at like 3 p.m. that this was happening when we don't have it locked. So it was kind of actually pretty surprising that, you know, 100 yards away at the playground, kids are playing and there's a bear digging in the dumpster.
Yeah, the bear thing has become a big issue in our town. And a friend of mine who is a weekender from the Upper West Side of Manhattan called me panicked. And he's like, there's a bear and 2 cubs in my driveway. They're near my car. And I'm like, well, are you inside? He goes, yeah. He goes, the dog inside? He goes, yeah. I'm like, well, just wait.
Just enjoy watching them, you know, watch them do their thing.
And don't leave. He has a grill and he cooks meat on it. And that is a pheromone for bears. So
I'm amazed at how often I'll go to the house that we have at the weekend homestead, and the grill has been moved, or the stuff on the deck has been moved. And I mean, so they go up the stairs, and I mean, they'll go right to it. If there's stairs or anything like that, that's not going to stop them. They'll climb trees, so stairs are pretty easy for them. And they'll get into anything. We can't have bird feeders out or any of that stuff because they'll just get into it. We actually, at Pinecone Camp, the little wooded house that we put out in the woods, I happened to go out there about a week and a half ago, and we were looking at some stuff, and I noticed a whole bunch of chew marks on the frame of the door. So a bear was on the porch chewing on the frame of the door in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
He wanted to go in and watch some Netflix.
Exactly. I actually don't have internet out there yet. We're working on that. Trying to figure that one out is kind of tricky.
You might not want internet somewhere, you know?
That's actually, I like the fact that my phone just barely works. So only text messaging and phone actual calls work there. Otherwise, other than that, there's no anything. So it's nice. You sit by the fire and listen to some music and maybe enjoy a beverage or two. And
yeah,
it's a nice way to relax in the middle of the week.
Cool. So if you have some ideas about improving the pizza barrel oven, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. Will and I are going to stay on here and do the after show for the Garden Fork patrons. And we're going to talk about the recent storm up at my house that knocked out power and my thoughts on not having internet and how nice that is. So, but anyway, if you're interested in becoming a patron of Garden Fork, there's information in the text that comes along with the podcast. Just click on that or go to patreon.com/gardenfork. But thanks for listening. It's radio@gardenfork.tv is our contact, or just get a hold of Will at the Weekend Homestead on YouTube and he'll tell you everything.
Whatever you need to know, you let me know. I'll give you all of Eric's secrets.
All right, everyone, go out and do cool stuff and come back and tell me about it. Thank you very much for listening. Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz. You can find more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. Our theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com. Other music used in the show is used under license from audioblocks.com.